Blog Talk Radio.
Now put your phone on you. This is Leslie Gist. Tonight we have a very special guest. Are you there, Mr. Fewell?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Can you introduce yourself to the Black Talk family?
My name is Richard Fewell. I'm a writer. I live in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Okay. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about your book and you know, your writing experience?
Well, I've been writing. I also have been a teacher for almost 20 years in the college systems up here. And I started out writing poems when I was in college. And then I went on to newspaper articles for the school paper, then for the city paper, and then for other papers and magazines and things. And writing just sort of seemed a little bit more natural to me than being a speaker or something like that. And I graduated from that to doing short stories and then essays and then plays. I'm basically a playwright at the moment, but this novel I have makes me also a novelist.
Okay. Now, how did you get involved with playwriting? I'd like to go back to your childhood.
Well,
I never
thought of being a writer at all. I never dreamed of being a teacher at all. I had some idea that I wanted to be an architect or something like that. That's what I said to stop the teachers from asking me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I never really knew what I wanted to do. It was just that when I was in the service, when I left high school and I went into service, I started keeping, not exactly immediately, but I noticed that I would write things down in a little notebook and stick it in my pocket. I wouldn't show it to anybody. And a lot of times I just filled the notebook up and stick it in a shoebox. And I didn't know why I was doing it. I did that for years, I suppose. And I asked myself, why are you saving all these things? Well, what are they for? And then I found that I could get poems out of them. I could get stories out of those little notebooks. And then I used to go down to New York to see the plays a lot with the Negro Ensemble Company when they were down on Second Avenue. And then I joined up with Frank Severa Writers Workshop in Harlem. And I just loved seeing real people on stage become characters off of a piece of paper. You know, I would see them do a reading, and then I would see them do the play without the paper, and I'd say, wow, that's amazing. I would really love to do that, how to do that, how to get from the page up to the stage, and you see the real living, breathing characters up there. And it was a long time before I actually got a play done, but I just kind of moved gradually into that field. And I was working with Ray Arena, who was also, he did a lot of August Wilson plays with James Earl Jones and other plays. He's been in a lot of movies. So he started a theater up here in Stanford. And I accidentally ran into him, and he asked me that I know anybody who wrote plays. And I said, well, I write plays, and I had only written one. And so I showed it to him, and then he looked at it and said, you have any others? So I said, well, I have to write another one. So I wrote another one, and the second one he decided to do something with. So
wow.
We've been together about 8 years. We were in our eighth season. It's called Prometheus's Fire out of Stanford. But we were getting ready to do our eighth season. They did one play of mine entitled Secrets. And then we were getting ready to do the second play, and we had a very serious illness of Ray, and so we the theater just stopped for a moment. So we're trying to wait until he recovers.
Okay,
but that's how I got into playwriting.
That's a wonderful story.
Yeah.
I mean, really fascinating. If you met him by chance.
Yeah.
And he unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. I knew about him, but I didn't know what he looked like or anything. I had heard about him, and I'd seen him in movies and stuff. But I was just happened to be in Stanford at an art show, and all the tables were taken. And the only seat left was at his table. And so I sit down there, and I had a book of poetry at the time. I went over there to sell him a book of poetry, which he did buy one. And then that's how he said, I'm starting a theater. And that's how it all started.
Okay. And about how old were you, if you don't mind, that's not too personal.
I beg your pardon?
How old were you when this encounter happened?
When this encounter happened? Oh.
Yeah, when you first...
You know, I don't even play with age.
Okay. Well, you...
I really don't, because it sort of puts you in a box, you know, and you don't want to be put there, especially if you're a writer.
Okay. Move on. About how long ago? Maybe that's a better
question. Well, I mean, I've been with the theater for 8 years, yeah.
This happened 8 years ago.
Eight years ago.
That mm-hmm. makes the story even more fascinating.
Yeah.
Recently happened.
But
and,
this
you know,
novel now, Leslie, this novel, I've been writing on this thing since I got out of the Air Force, but it was done really very slow in notebooks, also in little spiral notebooks that you stick in your pocket. And it was put together sort of like the Southern women down south where I came from, out of South Carolina, how they used to put the patch quilts together. So I put this novel together sort of like a patch quilt. That's what it is.
When you said you started in the Air Force, you remind me of Alex Haley. Alex got his start in the Air Force. He was writing letters.
Right.
Fellow state. So, and there's another question that came to mind. When I read your bio, it said that you're from Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Absolutely.
My people are from that area, from Chester.
Really?
Yes.
We used to play y'all basketball and football.
Yes.
Back in the day.
I know. You guys are rivals. And there's a lot of history in Rock Hill. Even the president, Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Visited Rock. So,
he visited
I know
Rock
you,
Hill.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was just down there in May. We had a high school reunion, Emmett Scott High School.
Okay.
We had a high school reunion, yeah.
Okay, we have to talk more about South Carolina off the air. I know you're excited for your novel. Before we move on to your novel, let's talk about that secret. I'm just intrigued by the title in itself. What is Secrets about?
Well, the play?
Yes.
In a lot of my plays, I have diverse characters. This one is, and I have a lot of, and I have flashbacks to, I also have ghosts in most of my plays. They have a ghost showing up from the past, because I don't see the separation between the present, the past, and the future. I think it's all just one, which is basically like everything happens today. But
how did that philosophy come about in your life? How did that philosophy come about in your life? When did you start?
Well, I did a lot of reading, and I was stationed over in Taiwan in the Far East, so I looked at a lot of how the Buddhist people believe things and how the different religions respond to life and how they define it and how they interpretate it and how it serves them. So this idea of putting everything in a little pigeonhole began to not be so attractive to me. Because I think everybody's related, like everybody in the whole world is related. All time is related, I think, but that's only for me. I know a lot of people don't ascribe to those kind of feelings and thoughts, but that's all right.
I think it's scripturally based. I think that the Bible talks about what you just said. When the scripture says, I am, that God is I am.
Yeah.
That means he is everything. So
yeah, all
no
the time.
Past.
Yeah.
Right. It's the past, no present, no future. He is.
Right.
So I can relate to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And now the ghost. So you present you deal with the time by using ghosts showing that the past and the present are all at one.
Well, the spirits are always with us. I don't think they leave us.
Think they have a great influence on our decisions?
Oh, yeah. I think they sort of hang around to guide us along, you know. Although our parents and grandparents are no longer with us, that doesn't mean that they're not still advising us, because I can think of things that I was told when I was hanging on my grandmama's knee, and those things still come back to me. I haven't forgot them, you know. So they're always reaching out, and it's like everything has to be given back anyway. And so whatever we get in this life, if it's beneficial, then we have to give it back. We don't take anything. Only the stuff that we don't give back dies with us, and it's a waste, you know. So you have to try to give everything back, because you can't take it with you. That's what they always told me. You ain't taking nothing with you.
So Secrets is about that type of relationship.
It's about a young lady who was away in college when her mother dies, and the father doesn't really want her to come home. The mother who is dying doesn't want the daughter to come home to see her die. He say, well, you've known me all my life. You don't have to come here to see me die. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're in the most important time of your college career, and you should stay there and do that. And that was a whole drama about that. And the father was there by himself because he knew he was going to die also. He didn't want their death to stop the forward motion of this child moving into her progress moving into the world.
Wow. Okay.
It's kind of weird.
That's not weird. In fact, that actually happened to Booker T. Washington.
Really?
While Booker College, his mom was dying, and she couldn't get there in time to see her. But he college, and he had to make that decision.
Yeah.
To tell him, because they were afraid that he was going to stop his education and take care of younger siblings.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well, so that question, you know, we have a lot in common with the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and everything is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about your latest novel.
Mm-hmm.
You had said earlier that it started while you were in the Air Force, and it was like passport.
Well, the time period of it is from, now I'm going to date myself, 1955 to 1961. That's the time period of the novel.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically,
go ahead.
Basically, that's when everything was changing in the South.
Okay.
You sound kind of young, so maybe you don't know about all that. When they were getting ready to brown.
I'm 42 years old. 42.
Well, that's still young. they were talking about integrating the schools at the time when I got out. The Brown versus Board of Education, Topeka, Kansas, all that stuff was happening in 54, 55, and all those years. And
right.
Things were beginning to change. So a lot of things were confusing and frightening during that period because nobody knew exactly what was going to happen. The character that I use in this book is also a Southerner. And when he leaves home, he is well armed with everything that they've taught him, you know, about the morality and everything is good and this. And he knows everything he should know, but once he gets away from home, all of that stuff starts to be, he wants to test all that stuff. He begins to lose all of this good training that he had. And experiment and other things that got him into a lot of trouble. So at the beginning of the novel, he is in the hospital, in a military hospital, back in the States, in the United States, and trying to figure out how, he can't get out of this bed because he's in a body cast, so he's trying to figure out how he got there. And the only way he could do that is to try to, like that movie Sankofa, to go back to the past, to figure out what's happening in the present and maybe have a future. So he, while he's laying there and they're giving him these drugs for his pain, he is also trying to reach back into the very beginning of everything and try to find out how he can change the direction of his life. But he has to accept everything that he's done and everything that has happened to him. And so that's where it all starts off with. So it goes off into little dreams. It's told in dreams, really.
Wow. Now, did you draw from any of your personal experience when you wrote this novel?
Well, I think it's almost impossible for any writer not to draw from personal experience in any writing they do. But it's not the... a carbon copy of it. It's not a factual rendition of the drama of the writer's life, but you do use certain things that you stretch and you use your imagination and you use your fantasy and you use examples of people you met along the way. You know, people you might want to imitate or be like, or people that you thought you were not brave enough to act like or whatever, and you just mix all of these things up and create some kind of believable guy, character, that you need to... he's dealing with a lot of issues at the beginning of the novel. He has to resolve them throughout the novel. So the first part of the novel is how he got to be in the kind of personality and character that he is by all of these things that happened to him as he's growing up. You know, the racism, the segregation, uncertainties about his religion and all kinds of things that he tests this once he gets out into the world when there's nobody there to watch him. Nobody there to correct him, in other words. So
now,
he just goes on an adventure.
While we're talking about the book, I think this is the perfect time for you to give the title of the book again, your
okay.
full name, and tell people how they can purchase it.
Okay, the title of the book is Everything Happens Today, and there's a subtitle called Chinaberry Tree. My name is Richard Fuell, that's F-E-W-E-L-L. And you can get this book from Amazon on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or WordClay.com. You can get it there.
I know we don't want to give away the entire novel, but we do want to save some of the drama for the readers.
Right.
So is there anything else you would like to share or say about the book to promote it, to encourage people why they should purchase this book, especially this summer? It'll make a great summer read.
Yeah, I think it would be very interesting to anybody who has had serious doubts about who they are, the question of identity, who their parents are, where they came from, and all of that. And the second half of the novel is dealing with cross-cultural love relationship, which is confusing in the very beginning and all the way through, actually, and how, though we're all human beings, we come from different cultures, and that defines different words for us. Love doesn't mean love to everybody. When you say I love you, it doesn't mean the same thing. So it's the second half of the novel is a love story, and it dovetails back into the first half. But I think you'll find it interesting. A lot of issues in there to talk about and think about.
Well, I know you got great reviews. If anyone goes on to Amazon.com, you'll see Mr. Fuell's book, and you'll also see some excellent reviews.
Oh, I haven't seen those myself.
I didn't think you were aware of it. I actually used the review in the posting of your show.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that.
And I gave credit to the person who reviewed your book. So I think it's a great book from what I read.
Oh, thank you.
Can you read it through the e-books, through the Kindles?
I don't have it on the e-books or Kindles. It's relatively new out here, so I'm working on all that stuff yet.
Great. All right. Your other works, do you want to talk about want to tell people how they could purchase your plays or if they want to get involved?
Well, the plays are not published. We just perform them in different places like Stamford, Connecticut, and Stratford, Bridgeport, and different places.
Now, you were affiliated with Yale, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Harvard?
No.
Okay, I thought I read that in your bio.
No, I graduated from the University of Bridgeport.
But did you write for anybody?
I've written for the inner city newspaper in New Haven.
Okay.
I used to review plays at Long Wharf Theater in Yale Rep.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's what I read. So
yeah.
You reviewed plays.
Right.
Okay. All right. And when you said we perform these plays, can you clarify who we are when you say we?
We is a theater company called Prometheus's Fire. And that was the one that was started by Ray Arona down in Stamford, the guy I told you about, the actor, playwright. He's actually had a play on Broadway called My Sister, My Sister.
Oh, My Sister, My Sister. Okay. Can you tell us more about the theater house and how someone could contact the theater if they want to see one of your plays?
Well, they could go online to Prometheus's Fire as one word .org, and you'll see a whole background of all the plays that have been done and where and when the next one is due.
Okay, and it seems like you have a lot of great plays there. Do you know any from the top of your head that are going to be shown or will be performed in the near future or currently planned?
Not until we get back up, get the theater back up again.
Okay, just because someone was sick, right?
Yeah,
someone
right.
Ill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before he became ill, what play was running?
They were getting ready to perform a play called, I can't think of the name of it right now. A Passion for the Shadows. It was a play that was written by Ray, and it was already rehearsed. We rehearse at the Shetler Theater in New York because most of our actors are from New York or New Jersey. And the play was going to go on that weekend that he got sick.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I wish the best for him. I hope he has a speedy recovery.
Yeah, thank you. I'll pass that along to him.
Okay. If you want to give out, if you have anything on hand about the play as far as a phone number or the Playhouse Theater, and your contact information again.
My contact information? My email address is R as in Ralph, F as in Frank, E as in enough, and W as in win, R-F-E-W, 89A at yahoo.com.
Great. Now, let's go back to the beginning when you mentioned you started with the Negro Ensemble Company.
No, I started seeing plays there, yeah.
Okay. And you said when you seen these plays, it made you want to get involved. You were
right.
Fascinated.
Very fascinated with them.
Great. And what do you think about those types of productions? Do you think that's growing or is it wavering?
Those kind of plays?
The whole industry of writers, playwrights, and black playhouses, theaters.
Well, I think we're always going to have them. We're always going to have them. I mean, we had them before we even had a chance to go on to the big stages. We always had plays, and even if in had church plays, we had plays in school. We always had little outdoor plays on the back porch, all kind of stuff. So we're always going to have some kind of theater going on because we are creative people. So that's what we do. That's how we tell stories. So it's never going to stop. Whether it's going to be profitable or not, that's another question.
Okay. I had Lawrence Holder on my show a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
He was pretty discouraged about the way the industry is going. And he talked about Fences in those different places.
Mm-hmm.
And the celebrities, the film, you know, the actors, the movie stars.
Right.
What's your opinion as far as, you know, Denzel Washington and the movie stars coming onto Broadway? Do you think that's a good thing?
Well, I believe what my friend Woody King says about Broadway. He said, what happens on Broadway doesn't have very much to do with black theater. So that's no gauge for us. The kind of plays that Prometheus's Fire does is not the kind of plays that you're going to see on Broadway. Nor do we want those kind of plays to go on a place on Broadway. They're not made for the kind of mass market tourist trade or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. But what can I say? It's I don't blame the black actors from going out there on Broadway and making their money. Why not? You know. But it doesn't help what's happened in the black theater very much.
Well, we had a great time talking about your book.
Okay.
Everything Happens Today. When your gentleman, your partner, recovers, I hope that you and he will come back on our show to promote
okay.
the play.
Okay.
Because I would like to take a trip out to Connecticut. I don't live far from Connecticut. And actually, this play. You really got me full of suspense, and I want to see the play. So, Mr. Fuel, I want to thank you for coming on my show.
I want to thank you for inviting me.
Anytime.
Okay.
And next time we'll have a show. And again, this is Mr. Fuel. You can buy his book.
Everything Happens Today.
Yes, on Amazon.com.
Yeah, and BarnesandNoble.com.
Excellent. Thank you again, Mr. Fuel. We'll talk soon.
And thank you, Leslie. Okay, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Protecting what feels inside. Find the dance floor with a smile.